Hello, welcome to Reflections on the Scriptures. My name's Murray Shanks. I'm the pastor of Foster Baptist Church on the mid-north coast of New South Wales in Australia. Elizabeth was old, really old, I mean, well beyond her childbearing years. And her husband, Zechariah, well, he too was long in the tooth. Zechariah was a priest who lived around 2,000 years ago out in the country, somewhere in the north of Israel. This couple lived in an out-of-the-way place, probably in a small village of no consequence, a bit like our hometown, yet God selected them to be part of his most significant intervention in human history. Zechariah and Elizabeth would be the parents of John the Baptist, the man who would announce the arrival of the God-man, Jesus, and prepare the way for him and his ministry. Today, as we head into Christmas, I want to speak to you about the God of the big picture, the one who stands beyond us in every way and yet became one of us for us, the one who came to us as a baby, born in the most humble and insignificant of circumstances, the one who changed the world forever. Both Elizabeth and Zechariah were godly people. Luke tells us that they were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. At this time, people believed that to be childless meant that you were living sinfully and that your barrenness was actually punishment from God. So for Elizabeth, her whole life would have been lived under the shame of her barrenness. Even though she lived a godly life, others would have thought of her as somehow being a sinner. They may not have been able to see it, but they felt sure that God could see it. Her husband, Zechariah, was a priest. The priest would serve at the temple in Jerusalem for 2 weeks of every year. They were literally born into the job. If your family was in the priestly line, then it was an honour and a privilege to serve the Lord in this way. When serving at the temple, one of the priests was selected by lot to go into the centre of the temple and to burn incense before the Lord, whilst a huge number of people gathered outside to pray for Israel. It was a really big deal. This particular year, Zechariah was chosen to go into the temple and burn incense. This was a big day for Zechariah. This was probably the biggest day of his life. He went into the center of the temple to do the task assigned to him and was shocked when an angel appeared to him. Now, this wasn't just any old angel, as though any angel wouldn't be a big enough shock. This was the angel Gabriel, one of only two angels named in the Bible. Gabriel described himself as the sentinel of God. So let's open the word of the Lord to chapter 1 of Luke's gospel. Luke 1 verse 11 says, "Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel he will bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.' Zechariah asked the angel, 'How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years.' The angel answered, 'I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time.'" So despite Zechariah's experience and knowledge of God, despite the fact that the angel Gabriel stood before him, he doubted God's power. And his punishment was dealt out immediately. Zechariah was unable to speak until after his son John was born. Very soon, just as the Lord promised, Elizabeth became pregnant in her old age. And then 6 months later, the same angel, Gabriel, was sent by God to a young girl, Elizabeth's cousin, Mary. Now, Mary was probably about 13 or 14 years old at the time, and she was engaged to a man by the name of Joseph. And that was very normal at the time. for women to be married at around 13, 14 years of age. Joseph was probably mid to late 20s at this stage. Engagement in these times, in these days, was much more serious than it is for us living in, say, Australia today. Engagement could only be broken by death or divorce. They were even called husband and wife. They simply didn't live together until they were fully married. So let's read on from verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Mary lived in a small town named Nazareth. Now, Nazareth was outside of mainstream Jewish life. It was more like a frontier town. The population was mixed due to two centuries of unrest, and the Jews living there were typically fairly lax regarding their religious duties. To describe somebody as being from Nazareth was a derogatory term. It was a bit like calling someone in Sydney a Westie, or if you lived in Melbourne, a Bogan. Mary was a young girl living in a hick town engaged to a nobody. There was nothing about Mary that would make her stand out from the rest. Yet God saw that she was beautiful inside and out, beautiful in God's eyes. Gabriel said to Mary, "You have nothing to fear." Yet he then said to her probably the most terrifying thing he could say to a girl like Mary, "You're about to fall pregnant." While she was betrothed to Joseph, they hadn't slept together. Telling her that she was about to become pregnant was like a death sentence. Under Jewish law at that time, she could well have been stoned to death for being found to be pregnant outside of marriage. Her fiancé would doubtless not want her now. He would know that the child was surely not his. He would want to divorce her and cast her aside. Despite all of this, the young Mary said to Gabriel, "I am the Lord's servant, ready to serve. Let it be with me just as you say." It really says something about Mary's maturity and her trust in God, does it not? "I am the Lord's servant, ready to serve. Let it be with me, just as you say." Immediately, Mary went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, and on the way, she wrote this most amazing song. This is the main passage I want to look at today. I believe that there are a number of things we can learn from Mary's life at this time and this beautiful song she wrote. Let's have a look. Luke 1, verse 46 says, "And Mary said, 'My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He's performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and in his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." You see, Mary is able to rejoice in all situations, despite her dire predicament, despite the fact that she'll probably be stoned to death, despite the fact that her fiancé will no longer want her, she's able to say, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." Do you see her incredible faith, the incredible faith of this young girl? Do you see the contrast with Zechariah the priest, who after a lifetime of serving God and studying the scriptures, just didn't get it? The only thing that impresses God is faith. Zechariah said, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." He doubted God's power. You should have known better. But God sees the heart, and Zechariah was punished for his lack of faith. Mary, on the other hand, simply asks, "How will this be since I'm a virgin?" I mean, not doubting, simply asking, "How do I do what God wants me to do? I'm his servant. Whatever he wants of me, I will do. But how do I fall pregnant whilst being a virgin?" Ask yourself today, honestly, are you more of a Zechariah than a Mary? I'm definitely a Zechariah. I don't want to be, but I fear that I am. You know, many of you have been walking with the Lord for many years. Do you still doubt his mighty power at times? Mary says, "He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He's brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble." She recognized and acknowledged God's all-powerful nature. Mary knew this about God because she knew the scriptures. Her song, the words of her song, are found scattered throughout the Old Testament. Mary obviously knew the songs of her people Israel well. She knew the Psalms, and she knew the story of God's powerful intervention in history to create a people for himself, to lift them up and to deliver them from slavery in Egypt. Mary knew well the mighty works of her God, and she knew that one day a Messiah would be born to a Jewish woman. Humbly, she was able to grasp what was happening and respond to it appropriately. She had faith in God because she knew the scriptures. How about you? How well do you know of the faithfulness of God through the ages to his people? How well do you know the Psalms? I mean, that's where you'll learn to pray. That's where you'll learn how to respond to God in a way that pleases God. You know, God is doing awesome things amongst his people here in Foster. Our church is growing, new people are coming in and very quickly becoming part of the fellowship here. God is going to continue to do great things amongst us. For some reason, I don't really understand why, at times, God chooses to limit himself by our faith. If God is going to continue to move, we're all going to need to keep stepping out in faith if we want to continue to see him moving amongst us. In faith, I believe that next year is just going to be awesome. You know, Mary was able to see the God of the big picture. And she sang, "From now on, all generations will call me blessed. The mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Mary was able to see beyond her own concern and circumstance. She was able to say, "I can't see the big picture, but my God can." God stands beyond time and space. He's able to see all of time, everything that has ever happened and ever will happen. He's able to see everything in a glance, everything. Once again, Mary knew the scriptures. She knew what had been foretold about the Messiah, and she knew that her son Jesus would change the world forever. So easy to lose sight of the big picture, especially when the big picture is more than we could ever really perceive or understand. Let me try to illustrate what I mean by this. Just for a moment, I want everyone to sit as still as you can and shut your eyes. Just shut your eyes. How do you feel right now? Do you feel as though you are moving? Does your body sense any movement at all? I mean, I guess some of you listen to this maybe driving in a car. The kind of thought experiment won't work. But if you're sitting in, say, a church building or a lounge room, you're sitting still, does your body sense any movement at all? It doesn't. You feel really still, don't you? From your perspective, you're not moving. Now, it would be easy to believe that that was the truth, the absolute truth about your situation. But it's not actually true. You are not sitting still. Your body, right at the moment, is moving really fast. I did some research and discovered just how fast your body is moving in relation to the sun. For a start, the Earth is rotating. Because we are below the equator, we are moving at a bit under 1,600 kilometres an hour. That's pretty fast, isn't it? But that's not all. The Earth is also rotating around the sun. In relation to the sun, the centre of the Earth is moving at approximately 107,305 kilometres an hour. That is really fast, isn't it? That's incredibly fast. That's 30 kilometres per second. Can you imagine travelling from Foster to Taree in 1 second? That's how fast you are currently moving in relation to the sun. Do you feel as though you're moving at 30 kilometres per second? When you look at the sun in the sky, does it look like you're moving that fast in relation to it? No way, but that's the truth of the situation. When you understand the big picture, God knows the big picture. In fact, God is the big picture. I think sometimes we've got to let go of our own petty concerns about the way that we perceive our circumstances and realize that God is outside of it all and God is in control. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Do we really believe that? That in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Mary knew it. Long before Paul wrote those words, she knew the character of God. She knew the character of God was such that he was merciful to those who love him. That's why in her song she wrote, "His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He's performed mighty deeds with his arm. He's scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He's brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He's helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." I want to challenge you today, as we come to Christmas and the end of another year, to think big. As we move into a new year, I want to challenge you to have faith in God, to have faith in the God of the big picture, knowing that he sees all things. He knows how it all fits together, and he wants to do good things for us and through us. God wants the very best for you. Sometimes our circumstances tell us differently. Instead of worry, joy filled Mary's heart. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour," she sang. You know, everything that the angel Gabriel foretold came true. Elizabeth and Zechariah in their old age had a son, John. He grew to become a great man of God, calling the people of Israel back to God and preparing the way for Jesus. Everything regarding Jesus came true. Now, I can't help thinking about how Mary must have felt 33 years later, when Jesus had said and done everything that needed to be said and done, and they were laying him out on the cross, driving nails into his hands and feet, that once again her situation was dire. She couldn't see beyond the reality that her son, the one promised to be the Saviour, was being murdered. In that moment, it must have appeared as though it was all going to amount to nothing, that it had all just been somehow false. Yet I think even then, Mary, the young girl so full of faith, may have been looking to God, to the God of the big picture, and simply trusting that everything was somehow going to be all right. I hope that this Christmas, amongst the clamour of materialism and the busyness, that you might have time to think about the faith of a young girl in a backwater village of Israel who couldn't see the big picture, but yet she knew the God of the big picture. And she knew that in all things, he's always working for the good of those who love him. Amen. May the Lord bless you this Christmas.